We're going to talk about Jerusalem tonight, and I don't. If you don't know this, if you don't know what happened, but today, matter of fact, President Trump officially declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. God did it a long time ago. Yes, he did. Matter of fact, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 132, we're going to kind of start off in one place. The difficulty with Jerusalem right now today, the difficult part of Jerusalem is it's actually the center. Three of the most holiest sites for three of the religious entities, both Jewish, Islam, and Christianity, all three of those. Matter of fact, all three of those are located in the same area. It's also known as the Dome of the Rock, where you will see the Islamic mosque that's there, and then also there's another, it's kind of a dark gray dome that you'll see there. And then, of course, there's the western wall of the temple that is still there. So it's not as simple as, especially where we are today, it's not as simple just to go in. How many of y'all know Jerusalem is a divided city on top of that? It's not a single entity. It's actually divided. We're going to look at that way it was divided, how it become divided, and what all took place there. Matter of fact, 70 years ago, November the 29th, exactly 70 years ago, November the 29th, Israel became recognized as its own sovereign state. All right. Unfortunately, for all of those 70 years, they're one of the only. It's 1948. Okay. It's when the partition was actually signed by the UN, by the UN General Assembly. And so 70 years ago, on November the 29th, 1947, history was made. Then you had the UN resolution. The General Assembly voted with what's called the Resolution 181. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But Psalm 132, verse 13 and verse 14. Here's one of the things that we need to kind of refresh ourselves with and understand this. And it says, "For the Lord hath chosen," he chose Zion. And Zion in the Old Testament, when you see it there, is another name for Jerusalem. Okay? And so, "For the Lord has chosen Zion, and he has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And then flip over to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. And notice beginning in verse 1, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion," or Jerusalem. "We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, and for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And notice verse 5 and verse 6. "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy." Jerusalem has always belonged to Israel. It's just a given. But where did Jerusalem actually get its beginning in Scripture? We're going to go back and we're going to look at that. But what I want to do is take just a moment. For y'all out there, I'm not going to stand up here and just talk for the next 50 minutes, okay? I am going to share a lot of things with you. But what I wanted to do is kind of open it up to some of you who have been kind of following this and watching this, what have you thought about this as it's transpired? Any thoughts from anybody? It's a very good thing. Well, also, one of the other things that you need to also keep in mind is how long were they in, how long was Judah in captivity in Babylon? 70 years. Isn't that interesting? Huh? And so now we come to that 70-year point of where, but now I want you to understand this. I want you to understand, Donald Trump is not the first president to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Matter of fact, if you go back and look, Bill Clinton did and had the opportunity at that point in time to move the embassy from Tel Aviv down to Jerusalem. There was a loophole in that resolution that was signed to where they were able to sign a waiver every 6 months to keep the embassy in Tel Aviv and not move it to Jerusalem. So from Clinton to Bush to Obama, that's exactly what they did. And so what Donald Trump is probably, more than likely, is going to do, he will sign, because right now there's not a facility to put the embassy in. So he will probably sign another six-month waiver. The difference here is he is also mandated to the State Department to put the plans in place to make the physical move of the embassy from Tel Aviv down to Jerusalem, which will be significant because at that point in time, the United States will be the only one that will have an embassy in Jerusalem. Now, there are some consulates that's there, okay? But there's a big difference between a consulate and an embassy. And so by putting the embassy, and also keep in mind, the embassy will be on the west side of Jerusalem, not on the east side. So who are the other ones that are in this mix? It's in this throw. It's kind of in this ball of wax. You know, the Palestinians, anybody else do you think of? The Jordanians, King Abdullah specifically, Mahmoud Abbas, okay. Egypt also, Egypt is kind of voicing some of their opinion. Some of the Arab entities are voicing their concerns and their opinions right now. But I want to tell you something, and I agree. Matter of fact, I was reading... how many of y'all are familiar with Joel Rosenberg? Anybody familiar with Joel? Okay. How many of y'all follow his blog, his sites, and so on? They've just formed a new entity, Joel and them have, and they've put together a team. Matter of fact, they were at the, they did a kind of a little press release at the press corps, and they have formed a group. Who is going to be helping to kind of support this thing, to make this, to help with this move, which I thought was interesting that Joel and them are going to be involved in all of that. But what's it say for where we are today? Let me just say this. Here's what happened in 1947. The United Nations General Assembly voted in favor. It was called Resolution 181. Also known as a partition plan. Have you, any of y'all ever heard the line of distinction around Jerusalem and Israel? It's called the Green Line. Anybody ever heard of that? It's what it's referred to. It's called the Green Line. And somebody asked me, well, why is it called the Green Line? Well, the only reason it's called the Green Line, well, that's the color pen that they used when they made the dotted lines. They're green. So it's become known as the Green Line or the Green Line partition. So when you go out and look at the resolution, you'll see some of that. So here's what it did. It basically divided the land of the British mandated Palestinian area to create a sovereign Israeli Jewish state and a sovereign Palestinian Arab state to put the two of them together. Now, the plan was controversial from its beginning. It was by no means clear that the resolution was going to pass. Matter of fact, it's recorded that Jews and Christians around the world listened to the vote anxiously, waiting for it, and to their astonishment, in the end, it was passed. However, we know from Scripture that it was going to take place, just the way that God laid it out, and eventually that it would take place. Here's the way it went. 33 states voted in favor, including the United States. 13 states voted against it, and 10 states abstained. Now, when I say states, I'm talking about other world leaders who were members of the UN. Now, true, the Jewish leaders that were living in Palestine at the time wanted much more land than the UN plan offered. But they accepted the plan as it was given. Let me ask you a question. Does Israel occupy all of the land that was promised to them at this point in time? They do not, okay? They do not own. They do not own. Matter of fact, Israel has made more concessions in just holding on to what they have than anyone else has there. Now, I will say this, that the Abrahamic covenant, which states that Israel will occupy every square inch of that land, is going to be fulfilled. We have that recorded in Ezekiel chapter 48. It will happen just the way the Word of God says that it's going to. When will that happen? It will happen during the millennial reign of Christ, okay? When the throne of David is reestablished in the city of Jerusalem. Now, after 2,000 years, of course, Israel was in exile. And so after 2,000 years from the biblical land of Israel, the world was finally given the Jewish people legal permission to regather and to rebuild the ancient ruins. 6 months later, however, this occurred on May the 14th, 1948. David Ben-Gurion formally declared Israel's independence. Okay, that was in 1948. Resolution was passed in 1947. The declaration was made in 1948. Now, some are not under that. They thought it all happened, you know, 1948, Israel became a state. Well, it was actually done in 47 when the UN resolution was passed. And it was not until 1948 that, of course, Gurion made the actual formal declaration of Israel's independence. Tragically, five Arab states immediately launched a war to destroy the new reborn state of Israel. They were not going to sit back and let all of that happen. And we know that. And then 70 years later, today, the conflict is still not resolved. How many of y'all just kind of watch that region? I watch all of that region. Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, Syria. Now, don't forget about Syria that's there. Okay, Syria plays a pretty important role here. But 70 years has gone by. It's still not resolved. As a matter of fact, there are millions of Palestinians that live in poverty and discouragement today in that area. Their leaders have been offered peace treaties multiple times by multiple Israeli leaders, but thus far have not agreed. How many of y'all remember Jimmy Carter as president? Can anybody tell me what happened under Jimmy Carter's presidency? Do what, David? I can't hear. That's correct. Menachem Begin, okay, met at Camp David, and they put in place peace accord. Okay? And so what is transpired after all of that? Now I'm going to throw a question out to you. Okay? This is one that Joel threw out, and I thought it was a very interesting one. Can the Palestinians and the Jews live in peace in Jerusalem? Can they? Should they attempt to? Psalm 34:14. If you go to Psalm 34:14. This is a psalm of David. And notice what it says in verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. We're commanded to seek peace. Should we be seeking peace in Jerusalem? Psalm 122 verse 6 says that we are or should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then if you've been if you've been here during the messages on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, we are told to be peacemakers. Jesus also went on in the Sermon on the Mount and said to love our what? So how do you, okay. So here comes the question, and I'm going to tell you something. When I first read that from Joel, I thought, you're crazy, okay? You're absolutely crazy. Seek peace in Jerusalem? No, we need to go in there and roll everybody out of there, kick everybody out of there, and all right. But they've got a point. So the question boils down to this: can there be peace in Jerusalem? Should we be seeking that peace? Let me say this to you tonight. Benjamin Netanyahu has been over backwards to try to go down that path. It's the other ones who don't want to come to the table. Has the United States tried to broker peace there? Yes. And so everybody's all up in arms today. Well, that's just going to blow all the peace possible treaty. Well, I hate to tell you this, ain't nothing happened yet, okay? So, you know, making this move and putting our embassy in Jerusalem, I mean, is it going to affect anything? Well, it's much deeper than that. The greatest challenge facing the decision to declare Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel goes much deeper than this, especially in the Middle East. It's not simply just as easy to do something like that because there's another entity involved. And it's not so much the threat of radical Islam so much as it is apocalyptic Islam. Is there a difference between the two? There is. There's a major difference between the two. How many of y'all knew there was even a difference in Islam between those two? There's a radical Islam, and then there is what we refer to as an apocalyptic Islam. And what's the difference between the two of them? You'll recognize some of these names. Here's what radical Islam is. Al-Qaeda. You're familiar with Al-Qaeda. The Taliban. You know them. How about Hamas? You've heard of Hamas. Those are all that we refer to as radical Islam. Okay, and basically radical Islam, they use violent acts, as we have seen, to try to drive out the ones that they don't want there, and they just use violent acts. So what's the difference between radical Islam and apocalyptic Islam? Apocalyptic Islam seeks to utilize genocide to remove those that they don't want. So what is the issue that we find in Jerusalem, in that region in the Middle East? Everyone who is there that is not Muslim, okay, who do not follow the Islamic faith and follow the Quran, are considered infidels. And so all infidels, and here's what they want to do, and this is what they're after. And this is what makes the world that we live in today so complicated. How many of y'all have heard of the caliphate? Let me tell you what they're seeking to do. The apocalyptic Islam is seeking to establish an Islamic kingdom, okay? A world kingdom known as the caliphate. That's what their goal is to establish. And let me tell you something. They're going to do everything they can to do that. They'll do everything they can to get to that, to get to that point. For the first time in human history, the leaders of two nations are being driven really by eschatology. And eschatology is the doctrine of future things. It's future events, those things that are yet coming. And so the leaders of two nation states are being driven by that. The rulers of the Islamic Republic of Iran are consumed by ancient Islamic prophecies that predict the end of the world as we know it. See, keep in mind, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians, all three, are looking for this world to end. But it's going to happen differently. And guess what? They want to hold on to those holy sites that are in Jerusalem, especially where the Dome of the Rock is and all of those and all of it. Well, guess what? We as Christians want to see Jerusalem, because here's what's going to happen. Listen, they can want to do this all day long, but I know what's going to happen, okay? I know what's coming. Now, they think they do, but I know what's coming. When Jesus Christ returns the second time, and the nations are brought together one last time for the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Jezreel, when all of the nations will be drawn there to the Battle of Armageddon, and that will take place, and the blood will run as high as the bridles of the horses, as God just one last time defines for them who's who, okay, and who the I Am is and will be. So, how many of y'all are familiar with Shiites? Have you heard the term Shiites? How about Sunnis? How about the Kurds? Okay. So you're familiar with all of those. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Now you take Islam, and now you complicate it even further, okay? It's a complicated mess within itself. So that's what all is being dealt with today. So today, here's what Donald Trump did. He officially recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He also officially ordered the embassy to start the process of relocating to the city, of course, on the western side of the city. Why would that make sense to go ahead and begin this move? Well, did you know that Israel is the only sovereign state today that their capital city is not recognized as their capital city, Jerusalem? Well, why? I thought Tel Aviv was. Well, Tel Aviv is just a place name, okay? Let me ask you a question. Any of y'all know where the Israeli seat of government, their Supreme Court, Prime Minister Netanyahu, and all of them work out of and reside? Jerusalem. I mean, so if they, matter of fact, that's their actual seat of government is in Jerusalem. Okay. Any questions? All of the nations who had embassies in Jerusalem, all of them moved out. Why we moved out, I don't know the answer to that question. Why we have not moved the embassy back into Jerusalem, I will tell you why. The reason we haven't moved it back in yet is because everybody's afraid of what could happen. Well, I hate to tell you this, we're not even there, and it's still happening, okay? So what difference is it going to make if we move it back down there?
That's what the president said today. He said nothing has worked all these years. Why keep doing the same thing?
Exactly. So what, one of the things about Jerusalem, I think that most people don't understand, Jerusalem really doesn't belong to anybody. I know some of y'all are looking, well, I thought part of it belonged to Jerusalem and or to Israel, and the other part. Let me tell you something. When the UN established Jerusalem, okay, and set it up, their intent was for it to be an international city. It would not belong to any nation within itself. And it would all be kind of overseen by the UN. What's going to happen? Did you know that there is no other city on the face of the earth that has the claims that Jerusalem has? Jerusalem is the center of the world. It's the center of all nations. It's what it is. And God has set his name there. So what's going to eventually happen in Jerusalem? Can anybody tell me what's eventually going to happen in Jerusalem? What's eventually going to happen? They're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Do we know? I mean, and we know that from here, okay? Matter of fact, specifically the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 47 give you all the details for the millennial temple, okay? Down to the sacrifice, the feast, and everything that will be conducted. Down to the furnace. Everything about the millennial temple is recorded for us in Ezekiel, beginning in chapter 40. So we know the temple is going to be rebuilt. What else will happen in Jerusalem? An Arabic state, right? So the temple's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And when the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem, we will start through the 7 years of tribulation. Through that particular period is prophesied in Daniel chapter number 9. As a matter of fact, one of the things that they'll begin is they'll be making preparation for the rebuilding of the temple. There, matter of fact, there's some things that are already taking place as far as the temple is concerned. No actual physical construction of the temple itself, but some of the furniture that is going to go into it, priestly duties and those type of things are already being worked on. So the city of Jerusalem, there's an individual who's going to play a big part in all of this. That will usher in the 7 year tribulation period. Does anybody know what he's defined as or by? The Antichrist. Okay. What's the Antichrist going to do with Israel, with Jerusalem? Huh? He will eventually. What's the first thing he's going to seek to do? The Antichrist is going to seek to enter into a false peace agreement with Israel. Not all of Israel is going to buy into it. There will be those that will. The Antichrist will also set himself up in the temple of God and declare himself as God. And so when you see the abomination of desolation, okay, you'll know that time is in place. So as you watch all of this activity around Jerusalem, and now with the United States declaring officially Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel, and now we're actually going to seek to move our embassy down there, I can't help but think we're probably moving quicker and closer than I think we've ever seen before at this point. To move the embassy? To what? To move the embassy? No. Mm-mm. Nothing on the prophetic calendar of God is wrapped around the embassy. Well, it makes a statement to all of the world. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. It's a good thing for us. Because let me tell you what it shows. We support Israel and what they're doing. Okay? It's good for us and it's good for Israel. Okay? Now, just last week, the UN General Assembly voted 151-6. There were 9 abstentions, adopting another resolution disavowing Israeli ties to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Jewish, okay? I mean, that's what it is, all right? That's who Jerusalem, one of the oldest cities in the world. It's been conquered, it's been destroyed, it's been rebuilt time and time again, and it's still there. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that something must be going on with Jerusalem, okay? And the rest of the world, the whole entire world is looked at. Did you know that as a result of Trump's decision about Jerusalem being declared as the capital, the stock market was going absolutely crazy? Everybody was watching the stock market when that declaration. I mean, it's the center of what's happening. Okay, and it's becoming more and more today, I think, than we've ever seen. Now, watch this. And here's something else that's interesting. When you go back and you read all the history, its ownership is disputed more today than it ever has been throughout all of history. Let me tell you why. Because we're getting closer. We're moving closer. So when did Jerusalem really become part of the nation of Israel? Was it in Genesis? Was it in Exodus? Where do we find it? Does anybody have any idea? Well, there are some who try to tie it all the way back to Melchizedek only because Salem meaning peace, and it was probably close to Jerusalem. But really, other than that one, there's not a whole lot surrounding that one, okay? You're getting closer. Let's go to the book of Joshua. All right. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. How many of y'all remember the Jebusites? Anybody know about the Jebusites? Okay. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 10, because this is where we really kind of pick up with what's going on with Jerusalem. All right? Joshua chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. That came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem. It was another king of Jerusalem. Yep, there was. Okay. Had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. And so we find Jerusalem here, and we find this particular king. He's a Canaanite king. And he has heard the way that Joshua and the children of Israel have come in and just utterly destroyed Jericho. They've destroyed Ai, the Gibeons, you know, all of it, okay? And so now this king is kind of concerned, okay? Well, flip over to Judges chapter 1. And we'll look at verse number 8. Matter of fact, Judah is actually going to fight. And this is interesting. They're going to fight against Jerusalem. And guess what they're going to do? Notice Judges chapter 1 and verse 8. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, smitten it with the edge of the sword, and they set the city on fire. And that was Jerusalem. Now, when did Jerusalem really become what we, most of us, think of Jerusalem today? Well, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 1. I tell you what, hold up. Don't go there first. Go to 2 Samuel first. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 5. All right? How many of y'all remember when David was anointed king over Israel, he did not begin his reign in Jerusalem? Okay? He began in Hebron. And it was after a period of time that God said, okay, now it's time for you to move from Hebron to Jerusalem. And that's where the throne of David is going to be initiated. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. And then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and they spoke, saying, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past when Saul was king over us, you wast he that leddest out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, you shall feed my people Israel and shall be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with him in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Now, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And then verse 6, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. And Jerusalem also was known by another name that you'll sometimes see it referred to after the name of Jebusites. It's actually the city of Jerusalem. David's going to establish his throne in the city of David. So verse 7, so nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion or Jerusalem. The same is also, Jerusalem also is known as the city of David. The city of God, Zion, Jerusalem, all right? And then when you go to chapter 6, how many of y'all remember one of the first things that David did after he established his throne in Jerusalem? He said, it's time now to go get the ark from the Philistines and bring it back to Jerusalem. That didn't go too well, did it? Huh? Yeah, they went to get the ark. And in transporting the ark back, matter of fact, here's what they did. They thought it deserved the best, so they built a new cart for it. Never been pulled by a brand new cart for it. Oh, by the way, chapter 6, David got angry with God because he killed us because he reached out to steady the cart or to steady the ark when the cart kind of took a little bump. And when he touched the ark, God killed him. Was David in the wrong? Yeah, he was. He knew exactly how the ark was to be transferred, okay? And it didn't happen. Anyway, so you can read all the rest. So that's where Jerusalem gets its real stability from there on, okay? Let me finish up real quickly with these because we're already out of time. Does anybody have any any thoughts or any comments before I finish up with these last couple of thoughts? Okay. Let me say this. Because of Jerusalem and who she is, and because of the promises and the destiny for Jerusalem itself, the spiritual warfare is intense. If you want to read about that, you can jot this down. You can go to Joel chapter 3 in verse number 2, and you can see where that is discussed. But the spiritual warfare is intense. Satan has his plan to take ownership of the city and from there to rule the world. Through who? Through the Antichrist. So things are setting up for that. You can read that in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1 through verse 5. You can go look at that. But the U.S. is the first country to formally recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel since the foundation of the state in 1948, and to actually put a plan now to its words. Keep in mind that Donald Trump is not the first president to recognize Jerusalem as the capital city, but he will be the first one to put action to it. Okay? There's a lot of opposition, even from some of the evangelical circles, to the United States doing this to jeopardize the peace in the region. I'm like, finally, okay? Finally, we're going to make a declaration from Washington, D.C. that we fully support Israel and their occupation there. Amen? All right.